we go down to California and say hello to former Vancouver Canuck and the color analyst of the San Jose Sharks, Brett Hedekin. Brett, how are you?
Good. Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You know, we were just discussing, and I don't know if you've seen on social media, we have it up on our website, the contract of Mark Messier's, with the negotiations, just a foolscap piece of paper of the different things and incentives in his contract. It came around this morning. Have you seen that?
I haven't seen it yet, no. I've been a day off here in the States, Veteran Day, so I had a lot of the activities for the kids here this morning and taking them to different doctor's appointments and getting things done that you need done, but I'll have to take a look at it. Tell me a little bit more about it.
Well, Randeep, have some of it. I'll pull it back up again. Yeah. It is fascinating, the stuff that he had in there.
Well, there's some stuff there such as, like, you know, you got the no trade clause and all that sort of stuff, but there was a clause in there that was saying, hey, you know, a loan for $3 million at 6% interest, and eventually they crossed it off, but I've never seen that in any sort of contract when it comes to athletes. Like, have you ever even heard of that? And you've been surrounded, you know, you played a lot with Mark Messier as well. Have you even heard of anything like that?
I haven't. No, and you're right. I mean, I haven't a chance to play with Messier and obviously Trevor Linden in Vancouver. Rod Brind'Amour, great captain in Carolina. Just so many different players you have a chance to touch and rub elbows with. It was interesting to play with Mark Messier and to get to see him, even spend some time with him because we lived together or near each other. I shouldn't say not together, but near in the same Yale town there. So I ate at his house quite a bit and got to know him. And just it was fun getting to know him on that side of it, to understand what makes a guy like that tick and how he's able to play as long as he was able to, and the way he looked after himself and his body and his nutrition, all those things. So interesting, yeah, on a side note, his contract and some of the things I'll have to take a look at. But, you know, as a leader, you could see why this guy, you know, won some Stanley Cups. And, you know, on the other side of it, Trevor Linden, I was, you know, extremely proud to learn and play with him as well. And a great captain when I was there with the Canucks and just really fortunate to have both those guys and to be able to see what both of them do in their ways to being a great athlete.
Yeah, Brett, you'll find it fascinating. And for a few of those years when you guys were there, I was the reporter. I flew with you guys on Air Orca and enjoyed that. But in his contract that he will reside in Washington, you know what, as far as the team goes, if they made it to a Stanley Cup final, the fourth year of his contract was guaranteed, $200K for every playoff round. That loan we mentioned, the corporate apartment had to be a three-bedroom apartment in Vancouver. Trips for Messier management, 5 trips a year for at least 2 people. Luxury box, and if that didn't happen, the 10 tickets. It was a time when we were discussing with Alex Ault. At that time, when you are Mark Messier, when you are the king, you could write stuff like that. And we were saying now that just can't happen in the NHL. It doesn't. Maybe Jaromir Jagr could put something in, but until you're 35, you know, here's what your contract is. That's the way the CBA goes in the NHLPA.
Yeah, fascinating, right? I mean, just to be able to just kind of shoot from the hip and say, okay, these are the things I really want in a contract. And by the way, I won't be coming unless they're in there. Or if that was the case, that's fascinating. But I never had those capabilities. So those are
things I was going
to
say.
I never had to worry about.
Yeah, now you thought, great, you're going over to his Yale Town condo for something to eat, but he wasn't paying for it anyways. The team was.
That is really fascinating. That's hilarious. I can't even believe that. I thought he had purchased that place, but boy, that was something that the Canucks were
there you go.
Man,
I figured you would enjoy. I'm sure there's a few of his teammates that go, wow, that's, and you know what's more amazing? It looks like it's just a piece of foolscap. Like they're at a restaurant just going, what do you think? You know, and he had number 11 in there too. Nothing about being a captain, but number 11, it's written right down there. Well, we'll talk about what will happen tomorrow. There are some stars on the team in San Jose. Both teams go in with the same record. What is your take? What is the take around that city on where the Sharks are and how they've started this year?
Well, they got off to an unfortunate slow start. They lost their first 2 games, and I think their LA King game, the second game of the year, was, you know, at that point, you know, their worst game of the preseason and the first 2 games of the year. And they got spanked by the LA Kings. And LA Kings now have gone on to have a pretty nice start to the season with their coaching changes and some of the things the change that they've made internally there in LA. Consequently, that's where the Sharks are going to be going this weekend as well. After the Canuck game, they're going to go down and play LA again. But looking at the last game against the Tampa Bay Lightning, going in there, they had won 4 in a row, playing some really good hockey. I'd say the Anaheim game, the game before they played Tampa, they squeaked it out. They didn't play particularly well. Mark Edward Vlasic was out, but then you look at the Anaheim Ducks, they had tons of injuries as well. Getzlaff, Fowler, you know, just in Kessler. I mean, you take those three guys out of any lineup and boy, you'd have a hard time. So they were playing with some deficiencies. So both teams probably didn't play particularly well, but they found a way to win. But then when Tampa came in, boy, it exposed a few things for the San Jose Sharks. And I was completely impressed, first of all, of the pace and the crispness to which that Tampa Bay played with. And obviously Kucherov, Stamkos, and Nemestikov are as a line that was pretty much unstoppable when they wanted it to be. And then the depth that they have with the Braden Point and Plot and Gord line, but then you back it up with a third line of Tyler Johnson, Callahan, and Chris Kunitz, four Stanley Cups with Kunitz. I mean, you've got very little weaknesses up front, and their defense has been really solid as well. You know, Vasilevsky, the goaltender. My point of bringing up Tampa Bay Lightning is the fact that, you know, the Sharks all in all have got the ship going the right direction, and then you ran into that buzzsaw of Tampa Bay and exposed a little bit in the fact that, boy, that's a really one heck of a hockey team, and you still got some steps to go before you can get to a level at which you're going to be able to compete with the Tampa Bays of the NHL.
We've got a, you know, veteran players in Vancouver are a hot topic these days, specifically two 37-year-old players in the Sedins. You've got a 38-year-old there in Joe Thornton, who's not maybe producing the same way he used to previously, but he's still looking good thus far, 10 points if I'm not mistaken. What's been the key to Joe Thornton's, I guess you could say, a bit of a resurgence this year?
Well, if you look at, you know, 2006 when they took away the hooking, and as soon as that stick came parallel, boy, it was a penalty. And that opened up the game. It made the game a lot faster. I think you're seeing that another adjustment here this year with the slashing around the hands. If you want to slash, it's got to be down where the puck is. You have to make a play on the puck. And therefore, there's more room to make plays, I see, from up above, you know, calling the games on the radio or TV. And the fact that you're seeing way more seams open up on the ice than I've seen in a long time. And so more scoring chances are happening. More players are being able to not only skate freer, but they're able to make those crisp passes. I mean, even watching a lot of the highlights of Vancouver and some of the goals that you guys have scored over the last while here, boy, you're seeing plays that you don't think are there, and all of a sudden they make that quick pass, and it's hard, and next thing you know, something opens up. Looking at a guy like Joe Thornton and the way he has played his whole career, he's always a step ahead. He's always thinking of where that play is going to be. And he sees things that I see up in the press box looking down on the ice. There's a guy he's going to be open. Well, he sees it from ice level, like the Sedins. And that is why he continues to produce, because of the way he thinks about the game and how much more advanced he is than everybody else out there. And because of that, his age is just a number. It doesn't really say much about where he is in his career, because he still is an effective player, as are the Sedins.
We are talking to Brett Hedekin, former Vancouver Canucks, San Jose Sharks color analyst. Is it fair, Brett, to make the comparison between these two organizations? Because to me, you can go to 2009 and go, these two teams are always there battling. And San Jose has been able to shift things around a little bit, where we had to have a dip for a few years in Vancouver. I think people are hoping now we see the light at the end of the tunnel and things are going the right way. Is that a fair comparison between the two organizations?
I think it is. There's two organizations that have relied on veteran players that have continued to produce. And it seems like every year at the end of the year, you can look at the leaderboard as far as points, and there the Sedins are. And there's a guy like Joe Pavelski and Joe Thornton. And, you know, obviously Brent Burns off to a slow start on the goal side. But, yeah, every year you're going to see some of those veteran players, you know, at the top. Now, what you guys have done in Vancouver and what the Sharks have tried to do and are continuing to do is that second wave of players stepping into these leadership roles. And it's starting to happen in Vancouver, obviously, with the Horvats and the Brock Bessers. But it's also happening a little bit here now in San Jose with Logan Couture. And you've got other guys like Chris Tierney playing much better. And, you know, you've got the young Joakim Ryan defenseman and Tim Heed, two defensemen that are starting to produce offensively from the back end for San Jose, you know, stepping into roles with, you know, guys like Paul Martin getting a little bit older. And, you know, obviously Vlasic and Braun have always been a great pair in tandem. But you're going to have to eventually replace some of these older players and parts that are moving out with young, hungry guys moving in. So it's been fun to watch Vancouver, obviously, this year come off to a great start, but also to see the transition of some of the young players for San Jose that are stepping up now as well and helping produce on the offense.
Lastly, Brett, we're going to be chatting with Yannick Hansen at the top of the hour. He's had a bit of a rough ride to start the year, scratched six games before returning to the lineup. What's going on with Yannick Hansen, and where does he fit on the San Jose Sharks team?
Well, you know, I think even from last year, you know, watching him come in and even playing against Yannick Hansen while still playing, you know, he was a thorn. He was a relentless sort of style of player that it just seemed like he was always in the mix in any game. And, you know, from coming into San Jose, I don't think he really felt probably 100% healthy last year. But then over the course of the summer, having the time to rest up and be ready, there's no obvious excuse this year to be, you know, not healthy. So I think not really finding his game 100% yet, or at least seeing the Yannick Hansen I saw in the past. I think he's had flashes of what I've seen in the past, but just trying to find that consistency with the limited ice time is never easy as you get older, and you guys will know. So I'm hoping that he'll find his game and be a big piece of the puzzle here as they move forward.
I always love talking to former players who are a little older and now have kids. I know I have a few daughters from a pro hockey player and a mom who was a gold medalist. Little athletes in the Hedekin family?
Well, yeah, they're athletes, you know, a couple of soccer players. One's a figure skater, the youngest one, and the other one does some softball and some hula, of all things, like
hula.
Competitive hula dancing. Yeah.
Really?
Like Hawaiian hula.
Wow.
So that's been an interesting transition as a hockey player I am, and my wife being the figure skater. Yeah, going into hula competitions is always a fairly interesting.
There's all kind of sports there. In the States, I guess, hey? It is.
There is.
Hey, Brett, thank you on a day off for you, a family day. We do appreciate you catching up. Enjoy the broadcast tomorrow with some old familiar faces on the Vancouver side.
Oh, I'm looking forward to seeing the Canucks play tomorrow. It'll be a lot of fun.
All right. Thanks, Brett. Appreciate it. There's Brett Hedekin, former Vancouver Canuck broadcaster. Nice guy. Christy Yamaguchi, of course. His wife, a gold medal figure skater from the U.S.